You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, yo, what's up? It's your boy D Starks.
Starks the artist.
You are now tuned in to the Just Different Podcast, where we talk everything faith, life, and culture. Yeah. We're here. We took Wednesday off, but we're back to the regular schedule program. We apologize. It was weird, honestly, not recording and having an episode come out. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Because, like,
it's been a minute.
We haven't taken an episode off in a while.
Yeah.
Like, we never do that. But this episode, I honestly just wanted to take some more time to prep and get into.
Yeah.
And so we'll tap into that a little later. But I wanted to make an announcement. We mentioned it a few times, but it's been at the end of the episode. But the merch is here.
It's out.
It's available.
It's there.
It's
you know what I'm saying?
There ain't nothing else to say. Ain't really nothing else to say about it. You know what I mean? I've honestly been wearing this a lot more.
Yeah.
Initially, I was like, yo, I don't know about it, but it's hard.
It's tough.
Shout out to Michelle. She got the design together, got the Seek First in
you
the
feel
front.
Me?
All things will be added on the back.
You know what I'm saying?
Based in Matthew 6:33, which is really my focus point for this year in terms of just being at his feet in the throne and seeing everything be added from there. So check it out. Link in the description. We got the black hoodie. We got the white one. So yeah, get it for your grandma, your kids, your moms, your brother, your sister, cousin, whatever you
everybody
need to do.
Bro,
so definitely tap in there. But I'm ready to get into this episode because I feel like recently we've been talking a lot about just stepping into your calling and who God has called us to be. So letting go of negative self-talk, not settling for the bare minimum, and overcoming adversity, getting uncomfortable. And I definitely want to add more to that conversation just to break it down and make it more practical. So I think a part of this is, what does it really mean to like build your esteem up and like your confidence? And I feel I've been going through that journey really the past few months and getting to a really healthy point of what it means to build that on God and just restoring my own self-image of how I look at myself and my purpose and what I'm called to do. So so that's what I wanted to really tap into for this conversation. Me and Jordan honestly wanted to do this a minute ago, but we just never got to it. So it's really built on how to be confident, but how to build that on Christ. Because I didn't want this to be self-help either, because if we could help ourselves, we would have done it already. But what does that look like to do it in a biblical way? And, you know, I think for the most part, we tend to attach like our esteem, our confidence, and our value to the world, whether that be our careers, our accolades, or even the opinions of people. But the issue with that is it literally is all temporal. It's fading, it's fleeting, and it doesn't last. So if my confidence is built on the praises of men, what happens when the applause stops? Or if my value as a person is built upon how much money I have, then what happens when I don't have enough? Or if the foundation of who I am, how I'm seeing myself and walking that out is based on my career, what happens when that position leaves and I no longer have it? And so a question that I feel like we have to ask ourselves, I've been challenging myself with, is who are you independent of what holds the most value in your heart? And I was actually listening to a sermon the other day, and he said that for a man or woman who doesn't have a relationship with God, anything of value will become God to them. And I thought that made a lot of sense and tied into this. If we are not connected, or we're ever at a point where we're out of line with our relationship with God, anything in our life is valuable to hold our identity and be the barometer for how we're judging our own worth. And so I was just thinking about this and realizing that our perspective really has to shift from I'm valuable because like I have done or I do X, Y, and Z to I'm valuable because Jesus did.
Yeah.
Like the value I have is because of what he's done, not anything that I feel I can do or that like I accomplish. It's what happened on the cross through his example and just a simple act of him sending his son and our confidence being based on the reflection of that love and just how unconditional it is. And when I was thinking about this, there was a verse that I've been really meditating on since I heard it, not too long ago, actually, and it's in Matthew 6:19-21. And it's something that some of us are probably familiar with, but it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store for... Store, but But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, when I was thinking about this and breaking it down, of course, as it mentions in the latter part, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in this verse, we can basically think about this idea of treasure and our heart being interchangeable. And treasure representing whatever we hold of value and high esteem in our life. So with that, what this verse is saying is, do not store up not just your treasures, but more so, do not store up your hearts on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up your heart in heaven. So when I was breaking down heart, I know in the Greek and Hebrew, and when it's mentioned in the Bible, it typically correlates to our mind, right? And this is a part of our soul. So we're three-part beings. We're our flesh, we're our spirit, and we're our soul. And our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And this is where our esteem is built. So how we think about ourselves will directly correlate how we feel, and that's what we're going to act on. Mm-hmm. So that's our will. So with that being said, we have to take this verse with a lot of intentionality when it's mentioning treasure, but also not storing our heart here on earth. And whenever you think about like storing something, that's where it primarily inhabits, right? Because we realize that, you know, we're still here on this earth, but we're primarily meant to habit in the confines of heaven. So in turn, this verse, I feel, relates so much to this idea of not storing up your treasure here on earth, because it's all temporal. No matter what it may be, what it looks like, or this illusion of security that it can bring, at some point it's going to fail you, and you're going to have this up and down of how you see yourself depending on the condition of your job, of your bank account, of what people say. But if the stock that you put in yourself is in heaven, if that's where it's stored, then it's never changing, because we have a God that has been the same and forever will be. And so whenever we see these things that are happening in our life and our esteem going in different directions, we have to always ask ourselves, yo, where's my heart stored? Where have I placed my esteem, and where do I need to make sure I redirect it? Yeah. Because if it's placed in God, then it's never going to waver. And so I think the question becomes, like, really, how do I store my heart in heaven? My soul, my mind, my will, and emotions, which makes up my esteem in terms of how I'm feeling myself, which determines how I feel, which will dictate how I act. And so, yeah, that's kind of what we're going to get into and, like, where I wanted to start with.
I like storing up your heart. I like the way that you analyze that verse. And when it comes to how to put your confidence in God and in God alone, I really have more of a, to start with, like a practical example of how this showed up in my life actually very recently. And God had to show me that it was something that I struggled with a lot more than, not that I acknowledged, but a lot more than I realized. And he showed me that something that I was subconsciously doing in different areas of my life, but I guess specifically with this topic of failing to put your confidence in God and in God alone. What I would do in my mind is I would compare a lot to other people. I would think of an image of my head of someone who didn't put their confidence in God. So what I mean by that is, in my head, that looked like maybe someone who was a workaholic, or someone who rooted their identity in their money, or maybe someone who was, like, you know, literally like an atheist, someone like, you know, I would have these images of, you know, what is or who is someone who doesn't put their confidence in God. And I would have all these ideas of what that looked like to me. And that's dangerous, because I think the way it could show up in someone else's life isn't always the way it would show up in yours. And it might show up in more obvious ways in someone else's life, but maybe in more subtle ways in your own life. And what that comparison does is it causes you to overlook how that's something that you're struggling with as well, just because it looks different. Like, oh, they're doing that. Oh, I check that box. I don't do that. Or they do this. Oh, I check that box. I don't do that. This isn't something I struggle with. When it is, it's just, I think it's important that you have to be very objective about the way that you're studying yourself and the way that you're reacting to certain things. And when it comes to the process of just bettering yourself, because I think that's what this walk is getting better every day. So comparison is something God had to show me I had to do away with completely. And when I did that, he showed me in very implicit ways this was showing up in my own life. So I might not be a workaholic, but when I set this budget and I have to pay for something that I didn't plan on having to pay for, and I'm filled with so much anxiety. Like, what is that, right? Like, he was showing me that's proof that I'm putting my confidence in something else. But because I'm thinking this and overlooking this, I don't see it that way, type of thing. So that was the first thing he showed me, is like, comparison is really dangerous with it. But secondly, the ways that it was showing up in my own life, which was the example I actually just gave, which I think is interesting because it isn't always, like I said, obvious. But very recently, at the top of this year, something I've been intentional about is budgeting, like taking care of my money, managing my money. So I've been budgeting my money, and now that it's more of a routine in my life, something I'm doing on a daily basis, like keeping track of what I'm spending and how much I'm making and all that, it's become like routine, right? And something that happened very recently, which I think God's very intentional about stuff, like the moment I became intentional about budgeting my money, bro, when I tell you stuff started coming out the woodworks of stuff I had to pay for out of nowhere, I'm talking like parking tickets from a year ago. I'm talking tolls. I'm talking random stuff. Oh, you owe $80 of Planet Fitness, bro. What? Like, what are you talking about?
That's insane.
I'm not feeling the moment I started budgeting my money, all this random stuff starts coming out of nowhere, right? So God showed me, or really it started with me questioning and investigating my reaction to these things, which is important. So I'm budgeting this money. This stuff is coming out of nowhere. I have the money to pay for the things, more than enough, actually. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world. But for some reason, internally, I'm so stressed out about it. Like, it's the end of the world. Like, everything is crumbling down. And I questioned, why is that? Like, why am I reacting this way? And that's when God showed me, you're reacting this way because you're putting so much confidence in this budget, right? You, at the beginning of the month, you set your budget up. This is what I'm spending on this, on this, on this, on this, right? You just set it up perfectly. And now that, you know, something comes that's outside of that plan that you've created, you're so stressed out about it, right? And the reason why is because that's where you've stored your heart. You've stored a piece of your heart in this budget, a piece of your confidence in this budget. So when the budget fails, it's kind of like you fail. It's kind of like everything's going terribly. And so that's when he showed me, hey, like, you're actually struggling with this a lot more than you think you are, more than you realize, because it's showing up in a different way than, you know, the way that you would have perceived it showing up. And it wasn't just that. I mean, it also showed up in the way that I've been scheduling out my days. Like, it wasn't just the budgeting, but God had shown me that it's a lot more under the surface than you thought it was. So I think that's something that you have to take note of when it comes to not even just this conversation, but anything in general when it comes to perfecting yourself, or I guess conforming more to the image of Christ and becoming better every day. You have to be watchful of that comparison and comparing how it's showing up in someone else's life to how it might be showing up in yours, because it could look very different, and it could cause you to excuse certain things that you're doing. And so that's really the first step with this, I think, is really studying yourself. Like I mentioned earlier, when I ask myself why am I feeling this way, right? But also doing it objectively, not studying yourself comparatively to other people, but objectively with the lens of like, okay, outside of how it might look in someone else's life or their life or his or her life, just, is this something I could be doing better? Point blank, period. So I think that's really the first step when it comes to how to be better with, you know, putting your confidence in God and God alone, but really how to be better with anything is objectively looking at things without comparing, but also like questioning the way that you react to certain things and the way you respond to certain situations is very important. And it'll always be very telling of where you've stored your heart, which I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I just saw this quote that I felt related to this when it comes to asking yourself the question of where is your heart stored? And, you know, whenever things start moving within your life or changing, evolving, adjusting, shifting, why does it make me feel this way? Why is the way I look at myself changed because this left, or I don't have enough of X, or they stopped sending me this, you know?
Yeah.
And one thing that I saw on Twitter the other day, I don't know people use Twitter no more, but, well, it's not even Twitter.
Yes,
insane. Yeah. All right, X. As a quote that said, to measure the quality of your life, simply do nothing and see how it feels. And I think this relates back to the first question that I said I had been challenging myself with when it comes to Who are you independent of what holds the most value in your heart? Who are you without the success? Who are you without the platform? What do you see in the mirror without whatever is holding the most weight in your heart? Your business, your assignment, this relationship you have with these individuals, or the work that you're doing over here with this person and this group. Take all of that out of the way. And what's in the mirror? How do you see yourself? What's the level of your esteem?
Yeah.
How satisfied are you in simply what God has already done and what he says about who you are? You know, and so it's something that I always have to check myself with, and how I'm checking my heart in terms of the foundation of what it means to really start building this confidence is knowing, like, all right, who has it, right? Like, whose hands have I placed it in, and how do I take it back? And so I definitely wanted to speak about that, because that's a conversation that I've been having with myself and a lot of other people. I was talking to my friend Eric, and we were talking about this in terms of what we didn't even realize is the last couple of years, we've been losing the taste for so many things that used to have our eye. Like, that was the apple of our eye when it came to, like, the success of having a platform and fame and notoriety. It doesn't move us anymore. Or even this, like, pursuit of, like, endless, like, money and wanting to have abundance of that. It doesn't hold our heart in the same way. And what we found is the fact that what he said was like, oh, wow, like, we were dying the whole time. And I was like, ugh. And that's exactly what happened. And the process you have to go through is, like, sometimes it takes you getting these things to realize that it's never what you really wanted. And it can't really satisfy. And you're still left empty, and a part of yourself doesn't have that esteem of who you really are. And, you know, he began to continue to say that you basically, in this process, are laying all of these things at his feet, and you're just giving him, you're giving him it all. And and he was telling me that what God has been showing him is the fact that he's laid all these things at his feet. He has nothing else in his hands. And God said, like, the thing is, like, you still have access to all of this. All the things that I've given you, the gifts that you have and what you've accomplished that you've laid at my feet, you have them. You still have them. They just no longer have you. And that's the space that we have to get to of knowing all this within this world is temporal. And we can't allow it to have us. And that's where we kind of start spiraling a little bit. And that's what we see in our life, and, like, why we sometimes are imbalanced and just volatile in terms of how we feel about ourselves. We're up one day, we're down the next. 1 week, it feels like everything's amazing.
Right.
I believe in who I am and what I can do. And the next week, it's like, I can't even achieve this. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
But it's who has your heart. And so from that, I want to talk about, all right, what does it mean to, like, take that back out of the hands of all these different things and put them in God's? For me, the first thing I'll say is, and I've mentioned this, is don't follow your emotions. Follow God's word. I think we have to realize that sometimes how we feel isn't always who we actually are. And we can't allow our emotions to take the seat of the throne, right? Like, if we feel as if we're a failure, we don't have any value, no one loves us, we aren't enough, and our confidence in ourselves, even though that's how we feel, that isn't the reality of who we are. So we have to adjust that and discipline these emotions and make them subject to the word of God. And that's something I've just been practically doing for my own life. And I mentioned this in letting go of negative self-talk and understanding the way that you even speak about yourself and how that is really creating the world that you're walking in, and replacing the way that you speak with how God does, right? And so when we talk about being in alignment, that's what that means. Is that, oh man, Jesus, whenever he was alive, he's talking to his disciples, he says that I only speak what my Father does and or do my Father is doing. And so we have to get to that same place, that we are only speaking what God does, not just about our circumstance, not just about our future and what can happen, but about ourselves. And we haven't reached our highest potential of, like, matching the image of Jesus if we're not aligned in that. And so that's definitely one way I feel like I'm taking that back and building that confidence in myself of like feeling more like myself again, and just having that esteem, right? It's really being built on that particular foundation. And I had a verse for this. And this verse is right after Jesus finished his sermon on the Mount, the infamous message of basically laying out the blueprint on how you should live life, how you should approach it, and the perspective you should have. And it says, it's in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." So, you know, that the firm foundation. Christ is my firm foundation. Rain came with. So the interesting part about this is it's not about the person who just hears the word. Right. That wasn't it. Everyone hears it, acknowledges it, and or came in contact with it. It was a person who actually put it into practice.
Yeah.
Right. That came in alignment with what it was that he was speaking and saying. And that was the foundation they were able to actually stand on. So I mention this because if we start building the foundation of our esteem on our the words, thoughts, or perspective of our feelings, then that's the sand.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when the winds come, life happens and things change. That's what it's talking about. It's when it talks about the rain that come, the streams that rose, and the wind blew, that is representation of life, right? The rain, the hardships, the adversity, the uncertainty of what's going to happen, the pressure of the wind that comes. Mm-hmm. When that comes, because it always will be there, you're going to fold because your heart was stored up on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was stored in heaven, the rain can't touch anything there. Mm-hmm. The wind can't touch your house, can't touch your foundation that's built on God. But if all your stock is here on earth, then it's going to be affected by anything that affects what's happening here.
Yeah.
And so I thought that even like related to the first verse of that's why he says that. That's the correlation. That's the connect. Like, yo, if it's built here on anything attached to the earth, then anything that happens to the earth is also going to affect the foundation.
Mm. Okay. So that's really good. I think... Because what I'm hearing you say is essentially like it's a cause and effect. There's a lot that plays into it, but a part of failing to put your confidence in God or storing your heart in God and God alone, and failing to do that, the winds, the rain, the stress, the worries of life, you're going to be crippled by them, essentially. You're going to be drowned. You're going to be buried in the sand that you're standing on, type of thing. So... which makes so much sense. Like it's going to affect your life in that sense. And I was also thinking about, you know, failing to do that and how else it, what else it affects essentially. And I came up with this analogy, I guess, of an anchor and how you failing to put your confidence in God and God alone will also change how much he could use you. It would change how much he could use you and also to the extent in which God can use you. And the reason why that is because the problem with putting your confidence in anything that isn't God is it creates like a conditional obedience. And I look at it like an anchor. It's like anything that you place your confidence in, which now that we're actually in the episode and talking about it and I'm hearing your points, it makes so much more sense about where you're storing your heart. So anything you're storing your heart in, it's kind of like you're anchoring yourself to that thing, right? So it creates a conditional obedience in the sense that, say my heart is anchored in, to my example earlier, my schedule, the way I've set my day, and God is calling me to something that would kind of disrupt the schedule, I'm giving my no to God, right? Because if it causes me to lift up the anchor I have over here, then it's a conflict of interest. I can't. You know what I mean? So it's like, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I got my heart anchored in this thing over here. So if it causes me to let go of that or remove my anchor from this, I don't know if I can. And it's like the more things that you have your heart stored in, the more conditional your obedience becomes. Because it's like, you know, I'm trying to give another example. So say I have my confidence or my heart stored in my money, right? Or I guess the security of my job. What that will look like is like God is calling me to something that is a godsend. It's a God opportunity. He's calling me to it. But if it causes me to pull up my anchor from this job over here, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it, right? And I'm gonna be honest, that's something I've been faced with, I guess, that question of if God called me away from the schedule I've set for myself, the budget I have, I would be very hesitant to do so because, and like God was showing me, I've placed my confidence in these things, right? So I'm a lot more reluctant to listen to what God's saying because I have anchors in other places. And I love what you were talking about placing everything at his feet. I guess in this example, that would be lifting up all the anchors from the other places and solely putting all your weight on God and God alone. So I think that's the danger of it as well, is God can't use you fully if you have your confidence in these other things, even if it's subtle. Like I mentioned, things like my budget, my schedule on a day-to-day, on an hour-to-hour basis, God can't use me to my fullest capacity if I'm stuck on all of these other things. So I think that's something else that plays into it, and it's something else that it can affect, because we want to be used by God to the fullest extent at the end of the day, you know?
I think even going further on that, if back to what you're speaking about to the anchor, yo, like if where you put your heart is also where you place the anchor that you're attached to, wherever that thing goes, you have to follow.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
When it comes to your money or the security of your job, when the security of your job is shaky, is rocky or volatile and you're unsure, your heart will move in that direction as well.
It becomes unsure.
If your money like is now in a place where it begins to like get scarce or you're having some fear about where it's going to go or moving up and down, you now have to move in a direction of where your heart is stored.
Mm. Yes, that makes so much sense.
So where it primarily inhabits, where it's placed at, wherever vehicle that is, wherever it goes, you are going to follow. Mm. So if my esteem and how I feel is in these things, then that's the place where it's always going to move. Mm. And so I think that plays into it. And I also want to just add more to what it means to continue to build it. Like, so it is speaking God's word, as I mentioned. So finding these particular verses and making these a part of your daily meditation in terms of what you're speaking over yourself every morning, every day, each week, every month, and just throughout your life in different seasons and how that applies. And that's because, again, when I keep saying your heart, we can exchange this for your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's where your esteem is built. And so, as it mentioned in that verse in Matthew 7, of whoever hears my words and puts them into practice, whenever you're hearing the word of God, you're digesting it, and it's going through your, and you're digesting it, that is what's affecting your mind. That's shaping your perspective of the world, on how you fit into it, what God has to say about how you're supposed to walk it out. That then predicates and completely reflects, that then seeps and influences your emotions on how you feel, right? So now this is what I think. I know that God has called me his royal priesthood, that he has destined me for the beginning of time to do good works, right? And now that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And then whoever hears my words and puts them into practice. So now this is what I'm thinking. This is how I feel. Now this is what I'm acting out. Mm-hmm. His word. Me walking into room, stepping and waking up every morning as if I know, believe, and it's the reality that I am his royal priesthood, right? That he has destined me for since the beginning of time. Yeah. So that's why that's important.
Yeah, and I think in terms of another how that helps me at least, is definitely, which we've said before, but it's one of those things, it's like timeless advice. Like it's like timeless truth and a practical step that you can take. And I think it's just remembering God's track record. I think quite honestly, there are moments, like even like this past week, where it's like I want to go to things where I want to store up. I might have inclinations to want to store my heart elsewhere. But it's like I'm at the point in my walk with God where it's like I can't even let myself, because God's track record has shown to me 10 times out of 10 that he's always been true, right? He's always been honest. He's never lied to me. He's always been there. Like, he's simply been holy. My emotions have lied to me. I've listened to my emotions before. They've lied. My feelings and their track record is that, you feel me? They got the worst record in the league. God's record speaks for itself. And I would stake my life on that. Like, whoever is listening to this, watching this, I can rest assured with the fact that whether you've been close with God for a day, for years, however long, I can stake my life on the fact that he's never failed you. I can stake my life on the fact that he's never let you down. And I think that has to mean something. You know what I mean? Like, that has to mean something in terms of, like, when you're in these moments where you're wavering or your confidence, you know, you want to place it somewhere else or somewhere that's more comfortable or going back into old mindsets, whatever it is, it's like God's track record has to mean something. It has to hold some type of weight, you know, because he's never failed. And that's what the word says, and that's the truth of it. You know what I mean? At the end of the day. So for me, that's something that always keeps me firmly planted. It's like 10 times. It's not even 9. It's not even 9.5. It's not 9.9. It's 10 times out of 10. God has never let me down. Point blank, period. So that's one how, in terms of how would I place my confidence in God. That helps me a lot.
And I'll say this because it just came to my mind, and I guess this is another promo and plug for the shirt. All other things are just added. And what I mean by that is, once you get to a point where you've really detached yourself from, attached yourself, your identity, your value from anything else on this in this world, no matter how valuable it may seem or that it actually is, you come to a place where you realize that, as we mentioned before in previous episodes, that Jesus is truly the reward. Everything else is added. The bane of my existence here on earth is just to know him. And that's another level of spiritual maturity and why this is so important, because I can't get there if my heart is still stuck here.
Right.
And so removing it from what is, so removing my heart from this world is what allows me to really get all that I can from God. And so that's what I'm realizing now, like even with when it comes to different music that people would say that they won't listen to or shows they won't indulge in or places that they won't go. It has nothing to do with the fact that I necessarily can't do it or it's sinful or not or immoral. It's the fact that I just don't want anything to get in the way of the intimacy that I have. And I want to make sure at all costs that my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions are always stored in heaven.
Yeah.
Where God lies and where he stays, you know? And so this is all encompassing of like everything. It's like, yo, you have to make sure your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul, the contents of your heart never inhabit here on earth.
Yeah.
And that's it. We understand that we live here and that there'll be moments of what we can enjoy, but it doesn't inhabit here. It's not stored here. And that's the biggest thing that I want to get across. It's like, it can't be stored here. And it has to be laid in God's hands. And that happens in a lot of different ways. There's like Jordan was mentioning, from like remembering who he is, like genuinely speaking his word and washing your mind in every part of it with that. But yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one.
All right. So me and Jordan, we were talking before the episode. we actually both saw the same video. It was like a sports podcast, yeah. And they did a game where they essentially had to guess the same player, but they had no idea who was going to say what, or like which player it was. They literally just had a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and guess the player.
Yeah.
And they had to do it until they got it right, like the same. They said the same player.
Right.
So we were like, yo, we should do something like that. Like, yo, that would be fun. He was like, yo, we can do it with Bible characters or whatnot. I'm like, all right, yeah, this will rock out. So that's what we're about to do.
You ready, bro?
So we'll see.
We'll see how locked in we
honestly,
really
I think we're going to get it on the first one.
You think so?
Yeah. I really do. All right.
All right. Ready? You count down.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
David.
Like that, bro. We're like that.
No. Nah, but they gonna think that's scripted. No, I promise you.
I swear.
I promise you.
There is no conversation prior to this, bro.
Nah, I promise you. But I told him before we started, I'm like, yo, I know we were gonna get this, bro.
He did. I thought you were just like, I was like, no way he's gonna say David. I thought you were gonna say like Jesus or like Solomon or something.
I don't know. That may be too easy.
Let's do a book in the Bible.
Okay. I like that. All right. Okay, it's gonna be harder. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Ecclesiastes.
Okay, we cooking. We know where we at. We know where we're at. Okay, we know where we're at.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
First Corinthians.
Okay. No. We still cooking. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Second John.
I was hoping you just kept with the job.
What'd you say?
I said Colossians.
This is hard. Okay. Right. If you don't get it the first time, it's so like demoralizing every single time you get it wrong.
We're cooking. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Matthew. 1 Timothy.
Dang.
Okay. Come on.
3, 2, 1.
Mark.
It took a little bit. All right. Thanks for listening to that segment of Games with JD.
Word
Association.
You feel me?
All right. So, yeah. Y'all know what it is, though. Hope you have an amazing weekend. We're back on a regular schedule program every Wednesday and Friday starting next week. We got the merch out now. Go buy. Check it out. Sell it out. And we love y'all. So, stay you.
Stay real.
And stay humble. We'll catch y'all next week. Much love.